Our Father, you are in heaven. Our Mother, you call us home. Our brother, you are the first there, our sister, your kingdom come. Our Father, you are in my heart. Our Mother, I love your name. Our brother, you love us so much, our sister, we do the same. Forgive us all the things we do that break the chain of hands with you. Give us this day our daily bread and hold us close just like you said. Our Father, you are in heaven. Our brother, mother, you call us home. Our brother, you are the first there, our sister, your kingdom come. Our Father, our brother, our sister, our mother, our God.
blessed be God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our guide and ruler, we may so pass through things temporal, and that we lose not the things eternal. This through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Lord is merciful. His desire is to save his beloved creation from destruction. The Lord is also full of integrity and does not have room for unrepentant depravity. Those who are humble and seek God have nothing to fear. A reading from the book of Genesis. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, What if 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I have been so bold to speak to the Lord, what if 20 can be found there? For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 138, found in your bulletin on page 4. Let us read responsibly at the asterisk. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord. That is the great glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. The Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, is the foundation of our faith. No trappings or rituals have power for the salvation of our souls. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And this is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, I lied. I didn't come clean. The gospel for today goes a number of verses past that. But what I wanted to do is I want to tell you the gospel for today. You know, I'm part of a group called the Network of Biblical Storytellers, and so I ruin biblical stories on a weekly basis. So I wanted to ruin this one for you, too. I'm kidding. I hope you know I'm kidding. But let's hear this story told heart to heart. I'm not making this up. This is right out of the New Revised Standard Version. I'm not making it up. So Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray just the way John the Baptist taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. He said, he went on, he says, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend at midnight, and you say to your friend, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And she answers from within, do not bother me. The doors are already locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Well, you'd give at least a few things in the middle of the night. You would, I know. And then the rest in the morning. I tell you, she will not get up and give you anything because she is your friend, but rather because of your persistence, she will get up and she'll give you whatever you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door swings open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, right, you would give a snake instead of a fish? No, you wouldn't. Or if your child asks for an egg, free range. No steroids or antibiotics used. If your child asks for an egg, you would give a scorpion instead? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father grant what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And that's the gospel story of the teaching on the Lord's Prayer. It's a little different, isn't it? I mean, that's really right out of the Bible. I didn't make that up. You know, it's just... Some years ago, I started pondering this. I want to talk about prayer for a little bit. You know, how do you pray? I mean, sometimes, you know, I meet all kind of people in the hospital. Are you a praying sort of person? Oh, yes, chaplain, I pray. Well, how do you pray? This question came to me some years ago. It says, what do we think we are actually doing when we pray? I mean, what are we really doing? What are we actually doing when we pray? I have no idea. I just know to keep up with it, you know. Some of us are bold. I love the story from Abram, right? He boldly approaches the Almighty of the universe. We need to understand how radical that is in its date and time, 3,500 years ago. It's very radical. And to actually kind of, dicker with God, you know, well... For lack of 5, you're going to burn the whole place down? Really? Yeah. So I hear some people pray. They kind of pray to the old man in the sky, right? Some of us have that picture of, you know, it's an old farm. It looks like an old farmer with a long kind of beard, ZZ Top beard, you know, and it comes from Iowa somewhere, you know, in the sky, the old man in the sky. And we engage in what's called bribery. Any of you get into bribery or racketeering with God? You know, okay, Lord, you know. Now, here's what I've been praying in the last week. My son's up for an interview for a job, and he really needs a job bad. And I've been just saying, please give my son a job. There's a woman I met in Florida when I did my internship. She heard the term that, you know, when we pray, say, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word meaning Papa or Daddy. So she always liked to pray to Big Daddy in the sky. That's a good imitation of her. We're praying to Big Daddy in the sky. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. That's what I mean by bribery. Sometimes we pray like that. I haven't been really offering anything about my son. I've been just asking, please, help. I met a woman named Doris over at Lutheran Hospital some years ago in the old CICU, Doris Tulke was. And when you walk in, there were two doors, a room with two beds, and she was in the second bed. Doris was her name. And we were chatting, and she asked if I would pray for her. I said, well, are you a praying sort of person? Oh, yes, chaplain. Well, how do you pray? She said, well, you know, I don't use the fancy words, you know, that you hear from the preachers or the preachers on TV. I said, well, that's okay. She said, well, I just fold my hands, and I close my eyes, and I say, dear God, this is Doris. And then I just talk to God, and I tell him what I need. And then I say, thank you, and amen. I said, my goodness, that's beautiful. That sounds like prayer to me. Now, here's an interesting thing about prayer. Do any of you talk to yourself? I know I've asked you this question in the past, I think, but, you know, now, the problem isn't that you talk to yourself. The problem is when you answer. That's the, you know. But now, here's what you need to know. All 7.5 billion human beings on the planet, everyone's mind, we talk to ourselves. That's how we process what's going on. But what I noticed years ago was that there's a difference. When you're talking to yourself, that's kind of like one particular experience. But when you start talking to yourself and then you start to address it to another, to the divine sacred, to God, there's something that happens. They sound similar, you know, talking to God and talking to yourself sometimes sounds similar, but there's this shift inside of us when we do that, when we not just talk to ourselves, but we turn our attention, we turn our intention to the Almighty of the universe. There's a shift there. I just want you to notice that, how they're different. Some of our friends like to pray the rosary, or any of you rosary prayers, you know. So, you know, when I was doing my chaplaincy in South Carolina, I was a Lutheran surrounded by Baptists and holiness people. But now that but here in Ohio, I'm a Lutheran surrounded by Catholics. And I had to learn how to say the rosary, you know, a good Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst... You know how to say it, don't you? If you don't know how to say it yet, you better learn it. It's something you should have in your repertoire. Because one of these days you're going to end up in a room or somewhere in a hospital or at a funeral or some meeting, and they're going to just say, well, let us say... You know, let us pray to the Holy Mother. And you want to participate, right? Now, it's interesting that I've heard a number of people kind of criticize rosary prayers, you know, people who pray the rosary. And it's like, well, they're just reciting words, and they're not thinking about what they're saying. They're just repeating words and repeating words, and they don't even know what they're doing or what they're saying. And I said, that's not true. That's not how the rosary works. The rosary works, remember that mind that's always talking to yourself and thinking, your thinking mind? What the rosary does is it gives that part of your mind an anchor, something to just kind of latch onto and occupy itself, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is, you know, your thinking part of your mind can't get distracted by that. It just focuses on the rosary, right? This the Hail Mary. And what happens is when we do that with the thinking part of your mind, other parts of your mind and spirit and consciousness, you know, become available. Things like peace, wisdom, intuition, we would call it. That's a modern term, we would say. The intuition of who you and what you are starts to emerge because we kind of took the thinking part of your mind and just kind of set it aside for a few minutes, right? And that's why you pray the rosary. Besides, it's lovely to be with. Now, I was a chaplain in hospice. I think I've told you this story before, but anyhow, you got to hear it again. Christine was a lady in our residential hospice, and I was her chaplain. And she and her sisters, very devout Catholics, every afternoon at 4 o'clock, her two sisters would show up. She had three sisters, but one out of the time. They would show up and they would pray the rosary at 4 o'clock every afternoon. Hail Mary, full of grace. Well, one day, I met with them and I got to know them very well. Well, one day it was the Feast of the Assumption of Mary. What is that? August 15th. And I just, in my prayer book, there was like a little prayer about Mary, you know. And so I said, well, you know, closing up our visit, I just said, well, let's offer some prayers today. They said, oh, we'd love that. And I says, hey, I brought this little prayer that I found about Mary. And they said, oh, cool. So we did our prayers, and I included that prayer, and we said amen. And Ruthie, one of the sisters, looked at me. She says, "Jim, you're a Lutheran, aren't you?" I said, "Well, yeah, I am." She says, "Lutherans don't have a devotion to the Holy Mother, do they?" And I said, no, we don't, but there's a few of us that think she's a pretty cool gal. I'm not making that up. That's exactly what I said to Ruthie. And they just laughed. They just said, "Well, Jim, we love you, and we're happy to have you here." Now, I have to admit, in my own prayers, I'm not an old man yet. I understand that, but I'm older than I used to be. I don't know how that keeps happening. But in the last maybe 5 years, maybe 6 years, my prayers have gotten shorter and shorter and less focused on words. And I do, for lack of a better term, I just call it a heart prayer. And when I pray, when I'm engaged in that, what I've learned, there's a lovely little verse in Romans 5, if you want to look it up. Romans 5, it says, "The love of God has been poured into our hearts." Right? Poured, you know. The love of God has been poured in. So I've been living with that verse every day, practically every day now for about 21 years. And what I've learned is that this spot on the body, literally, is it's like a little window. A window between God's reality, God's spiritual reality, and our, you know, this daily reality that we have. And so what I do is when I have a concern, you know, like my son David or a patient that I'm with or any particular thing, I'm an imagistic guy. I use images. And so I just have an image, say, of my son, you know, that I've been talking about. And I will simply just hold a picture of him here in the center of my heart. You know, we use our imagination, our intuition. And I just see him there, and I see him beautiful, happy, right? Peaceful, employed, you know, engaged in his life's work. You know, I can see what that looks like. He's a musician. And so I simply just hold that picture here for several minutes, and when my mind wanders away, it always does, the mind wanders away, I just simply come back to seeing my son, right, at peace, engaged, full of life and spirit. It's nothing fancy, I just see him like that. And what I know is that the human heart knows when it's connected with other human hearts. We know that. And I know that I'm connecting my love for my son and God's love for my son. I'm connecting those two things here in the center of my heart. So that's how, I have no idea whether that works or not. That's just what I do. And for some reason, it keeps working, and I find peace, and I find connection, and I find wisdom in those simple moments, just for a few moments, of holding that picture. Does this make sense to you? Or I have to go on, I have to explain it if you don't get it, because this is important to me. One last thing, still with me? The final thing. Thank heaven for air conditioning today. Some folks have learned about centering prayer. That's kind of been the rage since the 60s, centering prayer. Thomas Keating and Basil Pembington, you know, two Trappist monks up in Massachusetts. Now, what they've done with centering prayer is basically just rediscovering a simple prayer practice that's been in Christianity since about the 200s and 300s. The desert mothers and the desert fathers, in the early days of Christianity, to avoid some of the persecutions, early Christians would go off into the desert and they would set up little monasteries and little convents, you know, in the caves, some of them were in hovels and little mud adobe huts in Egypt and into the deserts outside of Jerusalem and south of Jerusalem. And what we know from their writing is that they would have a very simple prayer practice. And our term for what they did, what we would say, is it was the practice of contemplation. Simple contemplation. It basically means this. Here's the fancy phrase. Here's the core of it. It's simply a practice of sitting in silence and resting in the presence of God. Period. And when your mind gets distracted, you know, as it always does, you simply return to the intention, to the thought that I want to simply be available and rest in the presence of God that's always with us. Is there any time in your day when God is not present to you? No, is the answer. God's always present with us, always with us. And so I'm just using my intention, a little bit of mind, to just say, I want to rest and be available to God's presence. And we just sit in silence for a few minutes, you know. It's a lovely thing. But it's not New Age. It's very, very old in Christian tradition and been a part of Christian practice for, what, 1800 years. We're just kind of rediscovering it. So if you hear about centering prayer, don't get too frightened by it. If you bump into something that's frightening about it, call me. I'll talk you down off the wall. It's okay. Thank you for laughing. One final thought. I had a seminary professor, Benny Biedenbaugh, a Lutheran Theological Southern Seminary. This man was one of the absolute geniuses I had ever met. Marvelous, marvelous biblical scholar. And often, Benny, he was kind of a goofy guy because he was a genius, but he could barely tie his shoes, you know. And he was a pack rat. You'd go into his house and all there were paths, you know. But he was a man full of love and spirit. And he would start class usually with some kind of little story or some little observation. And then here's the phrase that he would use. His phrase was, and that might lead us to pray something like this. I love that line. I can still hear him say it. So with you, if you would join me just for a moment, join your hearts and your minds with me so that we might pray something like this. Gracious and merciful Lord, we give you thanks for your many blessings and for the gift of life. You form us from the dust of the earth. You breathe into us the breath of life. It is your life-giving spirit. It is your Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe into us each day. Grant to us the gift of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our spirits, in our souls, in our minds, that we might rest peaceably in you, that we might be inspired by your wisdom, and that we might be nourished in our hearts, hearts of compassion and mercy and love. May we live in Christ's presence in this grace today. Amen. Please stand with me as we profess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, come from God. together our hearts and minds for prayer.
This morning's prayers of the people are found on page 6 of your bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the Holy Catholic Church of God, that we may be filled with the truth and love and be found without fault in the day of your coming, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Archbishop Welby, for our presiding Bishop Curry, for our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for Reverend Jim, for all bishops and other ministers, for the holy people of God, we pray to you. Lord, have mercy. For all who fear God and believe in you, Lord Christ, that our divisions may cease and that we all may be one, as you and the Father are one, we pray to you, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and peoples, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord,
for those in positions of public trust, that they may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of each person, we pray to you, O Lord. We pray for the poor, the persecuted, the sick, all who suffer. We especially lift up all those listed on our prayer listing in the bulletin, and we ask you remember them and pray weekly and daily for them. For refugees, for prisoners, for all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, for those present and for those who are absent, that we may be delivered from hardness of heart and show forth your glory in all that we do, we pray to you, O Lord. For all who have commended themselves to our prayers, for our families, our friends, and our neighbors, that being freed from anxiety, they may live in joy and peace and health, we pray to you, O Lord. For all who have died in the communion of your church and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints, they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. We pray to you, O Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all of our life to Christ our God. And join with me. Our Father in heaven, we pray the hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to a new day. Open to us what you would have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us. And may delight in your will, walk in your ways, the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of the Lord be with you always. Greet one another with words of peace.
Good morning. So, last night was an awesome night. We had great food. First of all, let's give a big round of applause to Pete Meckes and Jason and Koa Evans. And all the other folks who brought potluck beans and potato salad and buns and brats and hot dogs and hamburgers and fruit and sweets and wine and soft drinks and whatever. We had, mid-30s, something like that turn out. So it was an awesome night. Weather cooperated. I kept trying to feed Koa, who was at the grill, sweating her brow off, tried to provide her water, wine, beer, and she wouldn't have any of it. But it was an awesome night. Thank you very much for everybody coming, and it was a good turnout. Speaking of turnouts, Pete.
Again, I want to thank everybody for coming last night and for participating in all the good things that they brought to make it a grand occasion. Unfortunately, there were people that didn't make it last night because they didn't know about it.
Yes.
I wasn't going to mention names, but...
Me.
There will be another picnic coming up in a couple more weeks to be date to be chosen. So this is advance warning, Bruce, that we will do this again. One of the things that I mentioned last week, for those that were here and for those that were not, we are going to the Crushers baseball game on August 9th. Which is a Friday night. It is fireworks night as part of the fan appreciation celebration that they do all summer long. Tickets are $8. Parking, I know, is $4. They raised it up $1 from last year. That is not included in the ticket, so that's separate. I will be picking up the tickets the latter part of this week coming up, probably Friday or Saturday, in anticipation of passing them out next Sunday. So if you are going to come to the game and you would like to pay, make your cash or check out to the church. Don't make it out to me, please. Otherwise, I will send somebody out with a broken nose named Guido. Right, Jason? So, that will be that grand occasion, Friday the 9th. Furthermore, for us golfers, there's going to be the Greater Advent Golf Outing, to which the winner will receive a pot of gold. So, Bun, you'd better be there.
Fool's gold.
Oh no, this will be real. I have not picked the date yet, but this is coming up within the month of August. So as soon as that date gets picked, I will make the formal announcement. And that's all I have.
Good, thanks Pete. So there is an announcement in the adventures about school supplies. I note that the due date is August 1st. I think that's probably a soft date. So please do make note if you would like to contribute school supplies to either St. Luke's Episcopal Church down on West 75th, 78th, or to Susan Eckerd Maitland's schools. Please bring them next Sunday, and we'll collect those. There will be someone to pray with you in back. If you have prayers of need, hope, thanks, Ray Bastoni will be back there to pray with you for that. Peace be with you.
I was asked to share one announcement. Someone asked how my wife, Toni Lynn, was doing. So just very briefly, you know, she had a very clean PET scan in May, so it was a total washout of two kinds of lymphomas. And over the last couple of months, she's regaining her strength, and she's nearly a full human being again. She's energized, she's painting, and she's watching our grandson 2 days a week for about 3 or 4 hours, and she's nearly her whole self again. And she's just doing marvelously, and all the prayers and all the people supporting us and encouraging us, we thank you very much. So, but she's doing really well. Well, now it's time to receive our tithes and offerings, a sacrifice to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of the heavens and the earth. For by water and the Holy Spirit, you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross, offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was handed over to suffering death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of a new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for all is prepared.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Peace, to love and serve the Lord.